May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 952. 952. Beloved Saviour, faithful friend, the joy of all thy blood-bought train, in mercy to our aid descend, or else we worship thee in vain. Hymn 952.
Let us read the Word of God in the Epistle of James, chapters 4 and 5. James, chapters 4 and 5. James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow will we go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as with a fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and being wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen an end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into temptation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. May the Lord bless his holy word to us each, and may grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, O great God Jehovah, the true and living God, the God in whom we live and move and have our being. And Lord, we acknowledge thee, the great God with whom we have to do. Lord, do grant now to us each a breath of real prayer, that we may come together to the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace. Oh, what a wonder it is to us, a wonderful favour to know it. There is a throne of grace. And, oh Lord, we bless thee, those of us who hope we can acknowledge we have a God to go to. We're not as we once were, Lord, in that state of darkness of nature when we were without God in the world. But Lord, we have known, we have had experiences of thy dealings with us, we trust we can say. And as we look back all those years, as one does to 1958, the Easter Monday of that year, Lord, when they just begin with one. Oh, so that we have all those years, Lord, of many things we've known and experienced. And we come along today desiring to continue in the things as it was given us at the time when we were received into the church at Stockfold Hope. Continue there in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Oh, we come, Lord, now seeking that grace and help to continue and to come as we have been brought here safely, to come to our dear friends here again. We do pray, Lord, we may prove thy wonderful blessed presence among us here today. We may prove what our dear friend and brother has prayed for before the service, Lord. We trust others have, many have, we hope, that we might prove it a good day in thy house. We think of thy word, its blessed, Lord. If we shall prove it, we pray we may. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And Lord, as one uses to be the doorkeeper and Stockfold Hope, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We pray we may be favoured in such a way. Oh, whatever our position is, Lord, we come, Lord, as poor sinners. Oh, poor, needy sinners, we trust we are. We are blessed if we're made to feel our need. But oh, we shall be more wonderfully blessed if thou dost come and supply our needs. Oh, how thou hast done wonderfully providentially and in many ways, and kept our poor souls alive till now. We pray we may be favoured, Lord. You know, with the word that we have, that thou hast given us settled in our mind upon our spirit to bring before the friends, it is a solemn searching word, a searching question. But Lord, oh, we do pray we may prove the favours of thy revealing, of thy opening up the word, of thy applying the word to thy people today, to us each, Lord, as we each need to be, Lord, as we think of the theme of the hymn writer, let us ask the important question, brethren, be not too secure, what it is to be a Christian, that we may our hearts assure. And Lord, we do hope we know what the hymn writer says in Give Thee the Answer. 'Tis to trust our well-beloved, in his blood has washed us clean. 'Tis to feel our guilt removing, though we feel it rise within. Oh, and Lord, thou knowest how it goes on. Oh, fighting, fleeing, turning, ever sinking, yet to swim, but to rejoice with Jesus, in Jesus learning and mourning for ourselves or else for him. Oh, we pray thee, Lord, may we truly be mourners over our sins and after thee, Lord. So do come, Lord, thou knowest how it is thou gave us to be exercised to bring the word. And Lord, we pray it may be proof for thy holy sovereign purpose in souls here. Thou wilt bless souls, do them good. Oh, thou wilt feed them, Lord, favour them, grant them to so be blessed, to be led on in hearing the word this day. Oh, led on in their experiences. Oh, Lord, we might, as we often think of that text, Lord, we heard in Gower Street Chapel by one's dear wife's late uncle, preach there about growing grace. Lord, who knows if we had come to the time when we trust we were in the favour and under grace, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Blessed are you young people here, or any others that are old or young in the way, who know is the case is, Lord, the state of each one. Oh, bless souls, Lord, do them good. Bless the young and rising race especially. Oh, in these terrible days that our lot is cast in, their lot is cast in, Lord, we do solemnly wonder what they will see. Oh, what solemn days we are living in. And Lord, at this time when there's such a terribleness of fearfulness in many, many souls throughout the world of what is coming. And Lord, even in these last few days, the solemn threats of those aggressors, Lord, in the east. Lord, thou knowest. And Lord, what we read in thy word is so solemnly an alarming word, Lord, where we read in Isaiah 13, oh Lord, that thou wilt punish the world for evil and for iniquity. Oh Lord, what does this mean? We feel we're living in a day of trouble which is named in Daniel such as never was since it was a nation. Lord, we've had the virus, Lord, so bad. And oh, even at this time, our dear friends, our dear beloved friends of this cause, the family, Lord, are under it. We pray for them, Lord, they may soon recover, Lord, and may not have lasting affliction through it. But Lord, we know it's been such a judgment upon the whole world and continues, as we know, in this way in the local area, Lord. And Lord, thou knowest too then there is the terrible judgment of this awful, terrible war. And oh Lord, these things give us to feel it's a day of trouble such as never was. We know there's been wars, there's been afflictions, there's been disease. Oh, there's been these things, Lord. We think of how it was in Egypt when thy people under the taskmasters and Pharaoh would not let them go. But they sent the plagues, they sent those terrible judgments. But Lord, we know these days are further advanced times, modern times, and yet terribleness of those things coming on the earth. We do pray for, especially for the young at this time. They may be able to heed the alarm of these days and be solemnly brought to be in concern, especially regarding their never-dying souls. Oh, we know death can so suddenly come and can come to millions. Oh Lord, we do terribly think of these things, of the terribleness of them. But Lord, we do pray we may be thus in diligence, exercised by the Spirit, and that each and every soul here may be, even if it could please thee through the word, that thou givest one poureth in that we may pour out today, that it may be for thy perfect purpose and effect unto thy power, Lord, in precious souls. Oh, that alarm. Thou knowest, Lord, here all those years ago, 34 years ago, thou gavest us the word, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. We feel especially it laid upon us today to sound an alarm here among the friends here we love. In thy name we love many here, Lord. Lord, thou knowest we are burdened for souls, whoever they are, young or older. We know older ones, we know how we can go on all our years just satisfied with our nominal profession of religion. Oh, satisfied with the things of that which is practiced among us, Lord, in seeking to keep thy day and to regularly read thy word. But what do we know truly spiritually? What do we know by vital experience? What do we know under thy holy, blessed teaching, Lord? Oh, Lord, we do beg. We may ask questions. Let us ask the important question. Lord, what a question we need to ask ourselves, Lord. Oh, Lord, am I ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer and trusting wholly to his merit, casting on him all my care, daily panting in his likeness to appear. Oh, Lord, hear our poor prayer. Oh, grant answers this day. Bless souls, Lord. Oh, we pray souls may be blessed. Thou knowest the burden of souls that was laid upon us, Lord. Oh, how important it is, in the highest of importance, Lord, is how stands the case, my soul, with thee. For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Lord, do so pour in. Lord, I don't want to be left to be carefully calculating and carefully choosing words in my own mind, Lord. Oh, to preach to the friends. I want thee to pour it in, Lord, and give me the enabling to pour it out. Oh, we know no good words of ready talkers, no dry doctrine will suffice. But oh, and for those that hear its broken hearts and humble walkers, make the pure preacher to have a broken heart and be a humble walker, Lord. Oh, not to just be a talker. Oh, but may our lives give testimony of who we love and who we serve, Lord. Save us from formality, Lord. Oh, the coldness of it, Lord. Oh, the dryness of dry doctrine. Lord, may we not be left to that. Oh, come, Lord. Work here, we pray. Bless souls. And in this way, thy way, get honour and glory to thee, Lord. Feed thy people, Lord. Oh, strengthen them. Those that feel weak, those that feel low, those that feel so much their need of thee to come again, to renew former mercies, former favours. Oh, how we need, Lord, as we feel our sin and guilt, we need thee to come and plunge us in that crimson ocean, Lord. Oh, that those words in Isaiah 40 may be applied by the Spirit. Your warfare is accomplished, and iniquity is pardoned. And Lord, oh, to know the favour of being cleansed, washed, cleansed, and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So do come, Lord, we beg. Oh, as we have mentioned, the family in the illness, Lord, thou knowest the way it is with them each, Lord, do heal and raise up. And any others in their afflictions, their weaknesses, Lord, oh, thou knowest each case, Lord. And Lord, as we think of friends up and down across the land, and those in affliction and those in sorrow, and some in much tribulation, Lord, in the way things have come in their lives, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, the things of sorrow and sadness. And Lord, as we've been so favoured to be Grant it to be in and among the people we love, Lord, in our part of the Christian church. We do pray that will bless us yet with the favour to see the crooked things made straight and the rough places plain. And Lord, that we may be, as we've been reading, so giving that right respect and love one to another. Oh Lord, oh do cause that those things of division might be healed. Thou knowest all these things how we feel so much sorrow over them, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the unity of the Spirit in the churches and, Lord, between the churches. Thou knowest, Lord, how it is. And, oh, Lord, do thou detect and destroy everything which is, Lord, of the ways of Satan among us. Oh, Lord, he is the enemy, the arch-enemy. We pray for grace to fight him. We pray for grace to so go on and seeking to follow thee, Lord. Oh, how prone we are to follow Satan. Lord, save us from his wiles and snares and all the malice that he bears. Oh, we pray and within our very hearts and souls, thou knowest the conflict, the very close conflict and combat each child of God has in their lives, in their experiences, when there's so many enemies, mighty enemies without, more mighty within, world and flesh and devil, as we've been reading of things of the world, Lord, and the dangers of these modern times. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, as we go on, and thou knowest, we have a new Prime Minister, and we have the King now, King Charles. Lord, thou knowest, we and pondered things right back to when we witnessed the coronation of our late dear Queen. Lord, thou knowest how some relations of one's father invited us to go and see the coronation all those years ago. Oh, as I think how I was a young boy at the time. And Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we do remember then in that way all the reign of our late Queen. And oh, we thank thee for that good reign. Oh, Lord, we do not pray for her now. We have the King to pray for. God save the King. We pray it may be truly so that he is made by thy grace to be a gracious King. Lord, do hear prayer for him and for our Prime Minister, Lord. And, oh, Lord, thou knowest the new government has formed. All these things are a burden to remember and pray for and pray to thee about, O Lord, every day. Thou knowest. But, oh, now we beg thee, help us to leave all natural things at the foot of the mount. Do come, Lord, and bless us here with spiritual blessings. May we know the favour of spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Lord. Oh, as thou hast, we trust we can say many times before, made this sanctuary, Lord, to be to many over the years a heavenly place. May we know it so today, and know and feel the favour of Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choices of her stores. We beg, plead in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 833. Thy mercy, Lord, we praise, of judgment too we sing, for all the riches of thy grace, our grateful tribute bring. Hymn 833.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the Epistle of James, chapter 4, and a clause in the 14th verse, which I trust the Lord's given me to bring before you today. The Epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 14, the clause there, for what is your life? For what is your life? The whole verse reads, and perhaps we should read it to see the word in the context, the 13th and 14th verses, and when the 15th verse, let us read these three verses. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But friends, these words, the words of a question, for what is your life? What is your life? It was Thursday, the word, I seem to be led to this theme in the word. The hymn of Isaac Watts, some words in the words of the third verse of hymn number 498, Isaac Watts, the third verse. Our life is ever on the wing, and death is ever nigh. The moment when our lives begin, we all begin to die. And it was that verse that came, and we were pondering the theme of it. And it seemed to come like this: well, what is thy life? And of course, noting the scripture reference at the top of the hymn, it led us to this word here in James. And so it was, we were pondering and have been ever since. Our lives, friends, our lives, yours and mine, each of us, individual, our lives. Oh, what there is to think about, seriously think about, our lives. And like dear Watts had the theme of it, moment when our lives begin, we all begin to die. Is that a solemnity to us? Has God made it to be a solemnity to us? We know, as we read in Ecclesiastes, how it's set there, a time to be born, a time to die. And of course, we've witnessed it with a late dear Queen. We kind of thought she was always there. But you see, the time comes when death comes. Oh, we're thankful for a long good reign. But oh, we realise the finality now. Oh, her life has come to an end. And she, and let us solemnly consider this personally, she is in eternity. And we hope she's in heaven, but the Lord knows that. That's not ours to delve into, really. But oh, for you and for me, has it been brought to you? It was 64 years ago when the solemn things of life and death were impressed upon me and my soul's concern then, as God begun to deal with me. And it was so impressed upon me and made, especially when we sung at Stockfold Hope Chapel, eternity's tremendous sound, to guilty souls a dreadful wound. And I couldn't climb the second part. Oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, I was under the law of God, the terrors of God's law. But you see, wonderfully, we can acknowledge it now. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And God did raise us to a hope and bless us. But friends, what is your life? What is it? What is in you in concern about your life? Because we live a time appointed us here on earth. If you go to Psalm 90, there as the psalm begins, Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations. Well, that statement regarding Israel, really, regarding the people as they were in Old Testament days. But oh, it does apply to every soul. Oh, God's appointment of our lives. We're born, but everything's appointed, and it is appointed, like we read in Hebrews 9. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. And oh, can you go on and follow the word? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. What is our lives? Are you looking for him? Are you in need of him? Are you looking for him? For he will come. And like we read in John's Gospel, that blessed chapter, oh, how he speaks, the Son of God speaks, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Is that true? What is our lives? Do we? Are we brought by God's grace to believe in God and believe in the Son of God? Are we brought to, if I may say solemnly, have we been brought to believe in our own just condemnation by God under his law? If we're left out of Christ, out of Christ's almighty power can do nothing but devour. Oh, what is thy life? What is thy exercise? What is thy concern? What is thy life? And do we realise what is stated here? It is but a vapour. Oh, you know what a vapour is. Oh, we see vapours in the rising of it, the rising of the dew, the dewiness of morning, especially now at this time of the year, and the mist. And it's when the sun is up, it's soon gone. And oh, is thy life like that? Sometimes we see it in man-made machines. We see it with the things of former days of steam, and the steam blown out, but it's soon gone. Oh, our life. Our lives are ever on the wing, and death is ever nigh, like we have in that hymn of Watts. But oh, friends, in your life, what is thy life? What is the reality of what you are brought? I can say I am brought to be in concern. You know, sometimes, especially with weddings, I've taken a few over the years, and their heart's desire is when we see dear young ones brought together and entering into that which is most wonderful and wholesome marriage, which is honourable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But oh, when we think of those times we have been involved in marriages, let each be fired with one concern for one eternal gain. Are you, and individually and together with those that are favoured to be together, are you fired with one concern for one eternal gain? Or is it that you're living just a natural life without any real concern in spiritual ways? Oh, are you brought to be in need of the Saviour Or can you live without the Saviour? On the Saviour's fullness living. It's a blessed favour to be living upon Him, relying upon Him, looking unto Him. Oh, how the word exhorts, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. What is thy life, friends? What is that which is uppermost, foremost, most important in thy life while you're living in the time state? What is thy life? What is the most important matter of your life? Well, it's God. If God has begun His work in you, I believe it will be His making you so much to know what you are as a sinner, and showing you, convicting you, convincing you of your sin. This is God's way. What God does, how He works, He effectually calls sinners out of darkness into His marvellous light, and He reveals His truth, and He brings each one to know solemnly what they are and where they are. What is thy life? Is it a life of being a concerned soul, taught by the Spirit, the Lord working in you? What is thy life? Is it that it is, like we read in Philippians, wonderful if it is. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Is this your life? Is this what you exercise in and under the work and operation of the Spirit? God's people are born of the Spirit, born from above. That's the new birth. And it's when God works to regenerate a soul, a soul who's born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but God's purpose of love and mercy for that soul is to regenerate them, to cause them to be born again, to cause them to be a new creature in Christ. Now, aren't they one of these? Well, there's many dead professors of religion, friends. And let me be clear, I'm not the judge of one and another, but I fear that there's many dead professions of religion among the strict Baptists. I hope it's not many, but I fear it is many. I'm not the judge. I don't want to step over out of discernment into judgment. We discern it. But God only knows. He sees the heart. He knows exactly how a person is. He sees you and me, friends, through and through. Oh, are we brought by the Spirit to be concerned about our never-dying souls? Are we given to understand this reality of fact? How man is born, mankind, child of God is brought to know he has a soul, he or she has a soul, and is concerned. Where shall I spend eternity? Is this a great question with you? Is it a prayer that you have to plead with God? Reveal it to me, Lord. Oh, give me to know thy love and thy mercy, and that thou hast purposes of love and mercy to me, that I'm not one who shall just be a dead professor of religion and go on in my life and be found in hell at last. Am I made a real Christian washed in the dear Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? What is thy life? Is it a concerned life? Is it a life of prayer? Is it a life wherein you feel great need? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What is thy life? We know in the context here is a comparison. It's a statement. It is a vapor. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Uh, Friends, when I was under conviction, in my early days after the Lord began to deal with me, which was, as I mentioned in prayer in 1958 on Easter Monday, the pastor of Lakenheath Chapel was there preaching at Southville Chapel, and it was his words that he spoke to me after the service which arrested me. God so ordered it, that should be so. And we were brought into solemn concern under conviction of sin, and we had that experience going on for some time. And we trembled before God, had to tremble before God, and eternity was made a tremendous sound to me, as I've said. And under conviction, it was so much more so, because my conviction went on into the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was all in the news at that time, which was thought to be a very dangerous time. We're in a very dangerous time now, friends. Very dangerous time, very solemn time. We know not, God knows everything. But it may be, and I believe it was of good purpose that God so caused me to be very solemnly concerned in those days, those solemn days. It may be some of you, perhaps some of you young people, God may use these solemn days to make you concerned. We know there is a day of trouble coming, such as never was since there was a nation. I partly believe we've begun to enter into it with the COVID and now this war. The Lord knows. I would not want to speculate and say things wrongly. But it is a very dangerous time. And friends, of course, God is over all. Everything is in his hand. But he may, like we read, and you can look it up in Isaiah 13. The Lord states there, it says, "And I will punish the world for evil." Think of it. How will God punish the world for evil? He could allow terrible things to happen. We know not. But the Lord knows his people are safe, will ever be safe. Now this is the importance, friends, of, I believe, heeding the warnings. We have it even at the head of the, it is in my Bible, how in this context the Lord is giving warnings. The head of the page in my Bible, in the vestry, it says, the warnings God's given in this context. But friends, oh, how favoured we are if under the Spirit's work we are heeding the warnings. Realise the warnings that God makes. Oh, times to be feeling the favour, concern about their never-dying souls, and where shall I spend eternity? Oh, the consideration, what is thy life? What is going on in thy life? What is God doing in thee? Is God working in thee? Is he teaching thee? Are we being prepared by God for eternity? Will it be in God's great favour that he's preparing us for those joys, that blessedness, that holy happiness in heaven? Or are we to be left to be in hell? Oh, we deserve hell. As sins, though my sins deserve in hell. May God give you the blessedness of an who can tell today. And may he give you more. Though my sins deserve in hell, I'll not despair. The devil wants you to despair, to cause despair is his scope, friends, to sink you in the doom. But God's loving purpose for his people is, people he set his love upon before the world, is to save them, to prepare them, to have them for his praise, honour and glory forever in heaven. Now am I concerned, may you be asking this question, am I in need of the Lord? Am I, is my life, though it's a vapour, is it that I realise this? And oh, to live and to be concerned day by day, and to be praying, to be begging. Oh, one of the hymn writers says, to be fighting, fleeing, turning, ever sinking yet to swim, to rejoice in Jesus, learning, and mourning for ourselves and or else for him. Oh, how we will. Are you in exercise, friends? Are you in need of salvation? What is my life? What is your life? What is it for in the will of God? What is obtaining in thy life? What are you and I experiencing? Oh, is it that God is dealing with us, teaching us? Oh, he's working in us. Oh, how Paul to the Philippians puts it, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is it so, friends? Is it so? Is this what we are truly experiencing? God dealing with us as with sons and daughters. That word comes, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, into our hearts. We hope, crying, Abba, Father. God the Father is the Father of his people, his dear people. They're his children, children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Do you have evidence of this? Do I? Is the Spirit so dealing with us, teaching us, to give us to be in this concern and exercise, to seek the Lord that he may reveal to us, he may bless us, he may... Oh, friends, is it your prayer, assure my conscience of a part in the Redeemer's blood? For God to save his people as appointed means. Oh, it was all agreed in covenant before the world, in the counsels of Jehovah. Oh, here the Son of God was needed much indeed, there to stand a mighty lover and to free the church from all the guilt of sin, by coming to this world and bearing the curse himself and shame, the cross of Calvary. Oh, suffering the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. God's way of salvation by divine substitution. Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, come to this earth, wrapped in humanity to die for crimes. Can you say it? What is in your life's experience for crimes that I have done? Are you a sinner, convicted, convinced by God? Are you given to know it is that way alone that you can be saved? Oh, no other way. Oh, Jesus Christ and him crucified is your only hope. Oh, you want to know it was for me. Was it for me? You want to know it. What is our life? Is it a life of exercise under the work and operation of the Spirit of God, where God began, as it did in me in 1958, and all those years, as we look back over those years, and oh, here we can say, God has maintained us. We could never keep alive our own soul. None can keep alive his own soul. But oh, he who first made us still keeps us alive. I hope I can say that to God's honour and glory with much thankfulness. For we can never keep, we can never save ourselves, we can never keep our own souls alive, friends. So what is the theme? The theme is of one's message, friends, it's what is your life? It is but a vapor. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We know as people are born and live their lives, as the whole of humanity do, and that time of death comes. There's the funerals, as we witnessed that funeral of the Queen recently, which was all day long going on, and very much pageantry and so on, which is expected to be so, monarch of a land. But friends, us that are more humble means and places in life, but you see the funeral, it's an important day. The Lord has pointed it that one should take a number of funerals, and you know they're important times of proper right way of how we should, with respect before God, do what is needed. Think of the Lord himself when he had given up the ghost on the cross. There was the loving purpose of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to beg the body of Jesus and take it down and lay it in the sepulchre. Oh, friends. But then, of course, with the Lord, his death is never forgotten. His life is never forgotten by the Church of God. And of course, all was accomplished. Oh, all was settled. One of the hymns says, all is settled and my soul approves it well. I hope we can say that as regarding our experiences and our hope. But you know, thinking of many, many, and I've gone sometimes into the great cemeteries in London, and you know, all those many graves, and oh, so many, many, so many people have forgotten, as it were. Oh, their lives are past and all is gone, like a vapor to millions in the world passing by. Those lives are just a vapor that's gone. They appeared for a little time, so many years, but then it's gone an eternity. And oh, friends, what is on one's mind to say as we go on is eternity, friends, will distinguish what we are, what we were, what we are, but what we only seem to be. You know, as the tree falleth, so it will lie. And so it's a solemn point, should be a concern. What is my life? Is it a life of faith and prayer? Is it a life of living unto him? I feel it more and more now in my later life, my latter life, as I'm in old age. I try to beg every day to the Lord that he would help us, help one, myself and my dear one, especially as we pray together. Oh, Lord, may thou give us grace to live unto thee and to endure to the end in the favour of faith, believing in thee and living upon thee, Lord. You want to live to his praise while our days on earth are lengthened. May we give them, Lord, to thee, cheered by hope and daily strengthened. May we run or weary be, because we are journeying on and we're in our latter days, many of us. What is thy life? Is it a life of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? Faith, which is the brightest evidence a child of God has. Believing in Jesus. Believing in what he's done and what he's doing now in his offices in heaven. living upon the merits of the Saviour. But if you're not, friends, like I said earlier, if you're not, death is upon the road. And that's not just natural death. It's eternal damnation. It's a continuing living death in hell. Out of Christ, we must be found in hell at last. We will be lost, and in the ruins of the fall, suffering forever in hell. That's the solemn fact, friends. For all that die out of Christ, they're found in that place of the damned, where the worm dieth not, where it is suffering and pain forever, everlasting woe. But oh, the child of God, blessed with faith in Christ, and blessed to believe in Jesus, believing we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his bleeding love. We live to the praise of our God by grace. So, see the difference. Any soul here, you may have a very active mind, especially you young friends, in all your learning, all your things which are good and wholesome in their place. But oh, one thing, let me tell you faithfully, lovingly, one thing is needful. You know, it is so, like we read of Mary, Martha and Mary. Oh, there's all the cumbering and things of many things that we have to do with. But what was stated by the Lord was regarding Mary. Mary hath chosen that good part. By grace she had. Oh, she was wanting to learn of Jesus, sitting at his feet. She was there, but oh, it was not a neglectfulness which Martha thought it was. Yes, Martha was cumbered, and we know the Lord loved Martha as well as Mary. But oh, friends, oh, art thou in the place and exercise of wanting to know more of Jesus? Oh, it's not that you neglect everything else, but it will be a diligence God gives you by his Spirit working in you to want to know more of Jesus, to learn of him. Oh, to be in exercise in this way as the highest part of your concern, your exercise, the reality of the priority of life, eternal life. Oh, that favour which is in Christ, through Christ, this is what will be. What is thy life? Oh, are you a real Christian? Oh, who seeks to know those things that Christ has wrought and brought in for the church? Are you a sinner, convinced of your sin, who needs salvation? Are you one who cries out like the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner? Are you seeking salvation in Christ's holy name and through all what he's done? Oh, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. So what is thy life? As you're brought to feel and know solemnly, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. What is your life? Your life of concern? Oh, do I know sin forgiven? Am I concerned about my sins? Am I convinced of my sin? Do I realise how solemnly it is that our sins, God sees us. It grieves him. We grieve him by our sinning. Oh, is it a concern to us, especially If we've been raised to a hope in the mercy of God and have some blessed favour of knowing and believing in Jesus and Jesus Christ, he who has suffered the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God, and all what he went through in all his sufferings, the sufferings he had to suffer in his holy body, and greater pangs in the pangs of his mind, his holy soul. He poured out his soul unto death. Lord, you plead with God, was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Does this make you more and more concerned about your sin, your sinning? Do you feel the grief? Do you feel godly sorrow? Oh, is this in your life as a solemn realization that you grieve your God by your sinning? Naturally, of course, solemnly, we have to admit we all love sin. We still love sin, friends. In our old nature, sin is such a sweet, I say that, solemnly feeling it. Oh, the sweets of sin. That's what's in the old man, and we're troubled with it. The new man feels the trouble. The new heart that God gives in people feels the pain and guilt of sin. Is there this that goes on in you, a conflict betwixt the powers of grace and sin? Oh, you are brought to be grieving. You have godly sorrow because of your sinning. What is thy life? Is it a life of warfare? A life of conflict? It will be in the true born child of God. It will be a life of conflict. It will be the feeling of guilt, of sin that you feel in your new heart and nature, of what the old nature of you and me is so in pleasure of still. You may think that's a tremendously sweeping statement, but it's fact, friends. There's the sweets of sin still enjoyed in the old nature. And God knows everything about it. He gives the child of God a grief that they deeply feel in their new heart and nature over their old natural nature's ways. And this is how the conflict is so close in the battle of the conflict that rages on betwixt the powers of grace and sin. Oh, feeling that grief over sin, godly sorrow, oh, brings us to feel and have repentance over our sin. And oh, God in mercy looks upon his people and forgives, pardons them. Oh, is it your exercise to seek to know pardon, to seek to know forgiveness? Forgiveness, that joyful sound, the malefactors doomed to die. Is it in you? It will be in your new heart and nature, the desire of it. Is it in you to so be in this exercise, longing to know it, seeking to know and taste redeeming love, seeking to know the favours of God's wonderful grace, his saving grace? All the favours of the exercise of the Spirit, which will be much in the new man felt, and the wonderful way of God giving light and knowledge and revealing Christ, and Christ being made so precious. Or is thy life such a life of exercise in these ways, under God's favour, under God's goodness, his goodness and mercy, his loving kindness in working in this way in his people, to will and to do of his good pleasure? So what is thy life? What is thy experience? What is going on in you, friends? Is the work and operation of the Spirit going on in you and me? Oh, are we in this way, favoured in this way? So to be in the favours of God's love. Well, It's a question I hope you, and I hope each of us will have lively within us, this question for what is thy life? And we know it's set in the word in this way. It is even as of even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, friends, I'm not setting anything up in a way to you, to alarm you, in a way only naturally. Because I am much in need of the instruction, just as much as you. Outside the farm where we dwell, we've been trying to do something to the bank and along the road in front of the farmyard, and we've been putting some new soil there, and some of the soil's got some stones in it. And only yesterday I was raking this soil and raking these stones up into little heaps. And as I came out this morning to come to you, I sighted these little heaps and I thought, and I did say, all being well, in my mind I said it, I'll try and gather that, collect them up and take them away tomorrow. See, I'm as much in need of it as you. But oh, if the Lord will, friends, we shall do it. Oh, we shall go on in the way. And you know, whatever it is in your life and mine, they are the things which are so low in comparison to the things of our soul. Oh, the soul concern is that which is most important. Oh, where shall I spend eternity? Will it be with the Lord in heaven? Oh, it's His free grace. I hope I can say it. I hope you can. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affection and bound my soul fast. What is thy life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for little time, then vanishes away. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon, and the collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Paul Austin next Lord's Day, and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the TBS local auxiliary will hold a prayer meeting at Clifton on Monday the 26th of September at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that was seen amiss in our service. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and evermore. Amen.